The title of this evening's sermon is Praying Scripture Back to God. Using Scripture when you don't know how to pray. That's where we're going to go. Before that, I would like to mention, for those of you who may be interested, there is actually a Wycliffe Bible Translators prayer meeting that happens on the third Thursday of the month. I was going to say here in Ipswich, but it's actually in Kesgrave, so close enough. The lady who leads that is a retired teacher from Northgate, and they meet very regularly. Lorraine and I are there as often as we can. There is another couple of Wycliffe folk who are supported by St. John's Caldwell Hall Road. They're there as well, as often as they can be. And we pray regularly for numerous things within the Wycliffe and SIL world, one of which is a lady, I believe is from the Elim Church. Yes, thank you, Lorraine. I'm getting the nod there. Her name is Sharon Dennis. She is of Afro-Caribbean heritage, and she comes from Ipswich. And she is now out, would you believe, in Chad. So lots of little connections there. I don't know if you've ever encountered her or met her, but she has only recently gone out within the last 3 months, 4 months, Lorraine? Yeah. To work in helping peoples engage with the scriptures. So lots of connections there. If any of you are interested, please feel free to ask Lorraine or myself about it, and we'll happily pass on information. If we don't have the actual information here, we'll make sure you get it. So let's go back to what we are looking at this evening. Using Scripture when you don't know how to pray. When Lorraine and I joined Wycliffe back in the early 1980s, there was a little brochure that they brought out called Lord Bless Justin. It basically pointed to the difficulty that many of us have praying for people. People that we wanted to pray for. People that we sensed God was laying on our hearts that we should pray for. And yet so often we didn't know quite what to say. Lord bless Justin. Lord bless Jane. Lord bless Jackie. Lord bless John. You know what I mean, don't you? We've all been there. Maybe you are there now. And often if you've got situations like the Saba in those days, do you remember letters and envelopes and stamps? Interesting things, aren't they? A historical interlude there. But the point is that sometimes the information doesn't get back. Where we were in Senegal, it would take 3 weeks to get a letter to Kenya, where the head office was, and 3 weeks to get it back again. So we didn't bother writing. It took too long. Telephone calls were too expensive. It made working very isolated. But these are the things which had impacted. And it's struck me for many years that we need to be praying with more insight. And yet, how do we do it? And then I read an article now many years ago about praying Scripture. So we're going to look at that somewhat this evening. All ministries, for all ministries, prayer is foundational. It is what we need to do, that hose pipe that John mentioned, up to God. And in Bible translation, as well as others, it is still needed very much. We've seen lives changed, hearts transformed, entire communities impacted and changed by people specifically praying that God would make himself known amongst the nations. I believe that's what he's going to be doing for the Saba, as you pray regularly for that small people group right there in the Gera region of the Sahel in Central Africa. Prayer is powerful, and it is one way we can all join in with the mission of God. But how do we pray when we don't know what to pray? Or maybe what new things do we want to pray? You know, Lord bless Bani and Yusuf. Lord bless Bani and Yusuf. We haven't heard for a week. Lord bless Bani and Yusuf. What can we pray for them? How can we do it? So let's look at Scripture as a resource. I hope you have the Bibles, because we're going to actually I'm going to ask you to physically look at the Scripture as we process this a little bit. We may jump around, but there is enough time for us to be able to get to those places. First general point with regards to this: find somewhere quiet if you can. Our lives are so full of noise. The phone, the radio, the television, the cars going by, whatever. Life is so full of noise. So if you can, find a quiet place to pray where you're able to connect with God more easily without distraction. I don't know about you, but I find that when I've found that quiet place, I don't need the external noise, because all the noise is in here already. Do you get that? Oh, I must remember to. Oh, yes, I've forgotten to phone. Or the way I deal with that is I get a piece of paper, comes in my head, I put it on the piece of paper, and I leave it there, and I don't have to think about it anymore. Oh, I've forgotten to put it on the piece of paper. And generally, I find that helps me a great deal. Maybe that'll work for you. Maybe it won't. So let's look now at praying Scripture, or using Scripture when we don't know what to pray, and praying it back to God. Very often, I find that beginning a prayer time, it's useful to have a Scripture passage which will prepare our hearts. So if you'd like to look at Hebrews 4:16, and I'll skip around and make sure that I give you the page numbers if you can't get there that quickly. So Hebrews 4:16 is on page 1203, just. It spills over into 1204 in the Pew Bible. It says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." That's what the Scripture says. I would suggest that as you pray, you take that and you go something like, you don't have to do it word for word. So as you read that verse, I'm now going to pray it. I'd like you to observe what I do with that passage. Gracious God, I come boldly with confidence to your throne. I need your mercy and grace in my life. Please give me what I need. So God has given us a verse, and we can then give that verse back to God. We know that he will answer that. It's his word. Wouldn't it be nice to know that each time you prayed something, you would get a positive reaction from God in that way? If you'd like to look at Psalm 119, verse 18, which you will find on page 617. So Psalm 119, verse 18, the actual verse says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." Remember, this is you seeking to find a place where you can hear God speak. He's given us that verse. So let's pray. Lord, I need you. Please open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your Scriptures. So we've taken that verse and we've turned it back and prayed it to the Lord. As you read your Scriptures, each day. Maybe you'll see something and think, oh yes, Keith mentioned that. I could take that verse and use it in that way. Make a note of it. Build a list up so that each time you get to a place where you want to pray, you want to come before the Lord, but you're struggling, you can actually pray scripture and ask the Lord to speak to you. Moving on to another point, using a verse or a passage to shape your prayers. This is the central point for me as we look at this. You can do this by praying the verse back to God and inserting the name of a specific people group or individual or family to make the prayers more personal. If you don't know where to begin, the book of Psalms has some great prayers. Let's look at Psalm 24, verse 1. Psalm 24, verse 1 is on page 555 in the Church Bible. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." If we take that one, we can say, "Lord, the whole earth is yours and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to you. May," and then insert the name you want. "May Lorraine or the Doust family or the Rapa Nui people that we spoke about from Easter Island this morning. May they understand the depth of your love for them today." So we took that verse and we turned it and we gave it back to God, inserting people who he has laid on our hearts. And if you remember, I mentioned about the dedication of the Rapa Nui this morning. You could then add something from that Psalm 119, verse 18 again, which was, "Lord, please open their eyes to the wonderful truths in the scriptures they've received." You see, this is not having to sit there with a blank sheet and work out prayers. It is God speaking to us and showing us by the Spirit how to take his word and pray it back to him. It's what he wants to hear. It's so important, he gave it to us. Now, another place to find some great encouragements and prayers are Paul's epistles. So from Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Thessalonians, and the little ones at the end. All of those are full of things that would be great for us to pray. Now, thank you for Sharon, I believe it was, who read the scripture. Did I get the right name? Thank you, Sharon. That passage in Ephesians is, for me, so packed full of things that I want so many people to have and to hear and to understand. And if you would like to turn to it again, Ephesians chapter 3, it's on page 1175. It is actually, you'll see in the little heading, which isn't scripture, but it's very useful for us, it was a prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. So God has, by his grace, given us an example of a prayer that Paul used for different people. We should take that with both hands and go, who could I pray this for? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to now pray, if you would like to read as I pray, from verse 16 through to the end. When I say, which isn't in the Bible, insert name, I suggest that you have in your heart an individual or a family or a people group, even if they aren't yet believers, that you could have them in your heart. They don't believe yet, Lord, But I pray that they will reach this point. You're praying that the truth and the depth of what Paul is saying for believers may be theirs. That's acceptable. God wants us to pray that people have this experience of his love for him. So I'm now going to pray this prayer with your permission. And as you read it through, you'll see what I do with it. And then when I say insert name, I want you to engage. I want you to think of somebody or a family or the church family, or maybe it's the Saba people. I don't know who it is that the Lord will lay on your heart, but that we can pray together for those folks just now. So let's pray. I pray that out of your glorious riches, you may strengthen, Lord, insert name, with power through your Spirit in their inner being, so that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. And I pray that they, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that they may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to you, Father, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work within us, to you be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. If you would like to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, which is on page 1195, there is, in verse 9, this verse. The verse reads, "Who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." I would like to pray that prayer now in the same way that I just did with Ephesians, but I'm going to insert the name of a language group in Senegal that has just dedicated in January their New Testament. The work began in 1984. It's just been dedicated. They're called the Wame people. So let me pray that. And as you read 2 Timothy 1:9, you will again see how this is done. "You are saving your children from the Wame people of Senegal, and you have called them to live a holy life. You did this not because your children deserved it, but because it was your plan from before the beginning of time to show the Wame and all of us your grace through Jesus Christ. Amen." Another point, allowing imagery from Scripture to influence your prayers. If you look at Revelation, the last book in the Bible, chapter 7, which is on page 1238, if you're looking for imagery in the Bible, you don't have to go far if you're looking in Revelation, because it's full of it. But if you look there in verses 9 to 10, you will see a passage. Now, I'm not actually going to change anything in that passage. I'm just going to add a couple of things at the beginning and the end as I pray it to God, as I think about nations and peoples and languages gathered around the throne worshiping God. We can pray that that would become a reality here on earth soon, and pray specifically for the people group that's on your heart to be a part of that gathering together. It may be the Saba, it may be others. So let's pray. Father, John wrote the following. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." Please, Father, bring many of the Saba to stand before your throne. Another point, to pick a verse and declare it as truth for a people group or nation. Lorraine and I had the immense privilege in November to visit with SIL's leadership team there, the team engaging with the Roma peoples. So the Roma peoples are a people group which spread from North India all the way across that central part of Iran, Iraq, Turkey, into Europe, over to North America, and all the way down as far as Argentina. The Romas are a nomadic people. You know them as gypsies, Romanies, multiple languages, very interesting group. When we were visiting with this team, we were visiting with the Roma leadership of SIL's work as we reach out in Macedonia, in the capital, Skopje. There we had, again, an immense privilege of talking with pastors who are reaching out to Romas. Some of them were Roma themselves. Some of them were Muslim background believers. They are Roma, but they had been Islamic Roma and now are believers. And in fact, one of them is a pastor. So talking with them, we went and visited some of their churches, what we could do to share in the work that they are doing in an appropriate way with according to our strengths as an organization. And in that, we visited the largest static group of Romas in the world. We think of Romas as quite small groups of whatever traveling around. There were 50,000 Romas in this enclave attached to the side of Skopje. It was astounding and a privilege to be there. So if you look at Acts 2, verse 21, which you will find on page 1093, you'll notice I'm just picking verses. There are many, many, many verses that the Lord could use and you could pray back. But if you look at that, that's the verse we're going to use now. And this is how I would pray. Lord, your word says in Acts 2:21 that everyone who calls on your name will be saved. I pray that the Roma people will call on your name as a result of having your word in their own language. Save these people for your glory. I could have said, insert name, but I wanted to help you to see something of a people group and where they are in the world, hence me mentioning them. Another point, prayers for particular individuals who you know, or maybe you don't, except you know a name. So for many of you here, you've heard the name Bani and Yusuf. You've never met them. Well, maybe some of you have, ones or twos of you. But you know a little bit about them. But you may hear of others, from others that you support as mission partners. So let's think of particular individuals. Lorraine and I, as you saw this morning, have two daughters. One is married, one is not. The younger one, both are believers and clearly going on with God. Our younger daughter's boyfriend is not a believer, at least not yet. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to insert his name. You won't know him, so that's okay. So his name is Jack. So I'm going to pray from Hebrews 12, verse 1. Which, if you're following, which I would like you to do if you don't mind, is found on page 1210. And each time I mention Jack, I want you in your hearts to insert the name of somebody that the Lord has laid on your heart to pray for. Okay? Particular individuals, they may be believers, they may not. But we can pray this piece of scripture for them. Particular ones, some who you may have prayed for many, many years. They may be family, they may not. So let's pray Hebrews 12, verse 1 and following. And again, when I say Jack, then you can think in your heart of that individual that you're thinking of. Let's pray. Our Father, since Jack is surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, I ask that Jack would throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. I pray that Jack would run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I ask that Jack would fix his eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, I pray that Jack would consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that as your child, he would not grow weary or lose heart. Amen. One more point to finish. God invites us to intimately connect with him through prayer. And what better way to do that than to use his own words in the scriptures? And as you pray scripture, I think I can honestly say, without fear of contradiction, that you yourselves will find new ways to talk to God. As you pray scripture to him, it will be changing you as it works in you, as much as the prayer is asking intercession to the Father. Praying for a translation project or a people group can really feel overwhelming for many reasons. But God knows your heart as well as he knows mine. And in Romans, we see that the Holy Spirit actually prays on our behalf when we don't know what to say. So allow the Holy Spirit to pray for you when you can't think of what or how to pray for yourself. Yes, I know it talks about groanings when you're actually at that deep point when you just actually can't pray and your heart is just so heavy about something, but also the Spirit of God working through his word is another means of the Holy Spirit praying for us. God knows your hearts, and he knows your desire to pray on behalf of the Bibleless peoples of the world, as well as for the fellowship here, for the pastor, for the deacons, for their families, for your families, for others. Trust that as you faithfully commit to pray, he will be faithful in answering your prayers according to his perfect will. And the scripture enables us to more and more pray according to his will, which is what we want to do. We don't want to just go our own way. We want to be praying his will, his glory, his way. Remember, we don't have to pray, God bless Justin, God bless Peter, God bless Samantha, God bless. There is so much more we can pray and bring to the Lord that he wants to hear, he wants to answer, he wants to do in people's lives. He has given us the resources in his scriptures. So much.